Nice. All right, Donnie, you're on toiletries. Raph, you're stocking up the pantry. And Mikey, you're on junk food.
Thirsty.
And remember, don't let any human see you. Because why?
Humans are the demon scum of the earth. Avoid them. Don't say hi. They lust to murder that which is different from them.
To interact with them is to die.
And hey, I know that's objectively prejudiced, but that's what Dad taught us.
I think humans seem kind of cool, to be honest. Beyonce.
Drake! That guy's the goat of all time.
I would love to have a champagne brunch with Tom Brady.
Guy Fieri seems like a fun hang, and I've always wanted to go to Flavortown.
Look, we all think humans are cool, but we got a job to do.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
This is Cheap Seat Reviews.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Cheap Seat Reviews, the podcast that explores the Hollywood film industry for the greater good.
The greater good, Sean.
Cowabunga. This is episode 474, and tonight we're talking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem. I am your host, Sean Allred, and joining me tonight is Andrew. Please don't milk me to death, Jimison.
Yo, is Raph just, is he thick in this film? Like,
one of them is, isn't he?
He's thick.
Yeah.
Look at this. Look.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Yeah. I'm not going to say fat, but I'm going to say he's thick.
I mean, he's strong enough to pick up a van, a pizza delivery van.
Yeah.
And also, Mikey, a little anorexic, I think, possibly.
Yeah, he's a little skinny.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
No.
And Sam.
Yes.
This movie has more pop culture references than all the DCEU movies put together, and that's saying something, Vector.
It is, Sean, for sure.
Okay. This is where I pause for you to kill me.
Oh, that's right. Look at me. Not following the rules of our show.
Yeah, 400 episodes, you decide not to kill me. You've really, like, confused me.
Yeah. That's a great point. How am I killing you in this movie?
Well, yeah, too late. You've lost your time. No, you don't get to say it. It's been too long.
Okay.
So this is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. This is the animated film that came out, I think, last year, right? 2023. That is produced by Seth Rogen, and it's got some of his other buddies in it. This was an interesting movie, to say the least. So I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys have to say about it. So we'll pull up a chair, go into the sewers, and dive into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem.
Heroes in a half shell.
Turtle power. So, Andrew, what is this movie?
Well, Sean, it is a movie about Ninja Turtles.
That is true. You're not ready.
No, the Turtle Brothers work to earn the love of New York City while facing down an army of mutants.
That's not entirely correct, but
no. And once again, thank you IMDb for a poorly written description.
Yeah, but yeah, that's okay. Okay, so this movie is episode number two, week two of our family movie night month of movies. I think actually I picked this one because, well, I wanted to see it and I was excited for it because I love the Ninja Turtles. It's one of my favorite properties. I have seen of the three live action films, I have seen two of them in the theater, and I also kind of enjoy the last Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that came out, the animated one that came out about a decade ago. I'll rephrase. I have not seen either one of the Michael Bay live action Turtles movies. I threatened to do them for the podcast, and I think both of you screamed at me.
We were no on those for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I think the phrase was "Do not ruin my childhood." Is what I was,
that was
shouted at me.
Not
to do. So we probably won't do those. I don't know. Maybe I'll make you do them just to be mean. I don't know. You've made me do things to be mean. So at least I'm sure you have.
You made me do things I didn't want to do.
Yeah. I'm a grown man and I can't say no. So we're going to do 5-word reviews here, but I do want to say that. So, okay. I have mixed emotions about this movie, and maybe this is one of those movies where, like, because Sam, you've done this before, right? Like, you've walked into this an episode and you're like, yeah. I don't really know how I'm going to fall on this one way or the other. And no, I need you guys to like walk me through it. And so I kind of feel like that's where I am right now, because I could probably make a case for this movie was terrible or this movie was brilliant. That's just kind of where I am right now. So let's, but we'll start as we always do with 5-word reviews, and Sam, it's up to you to go first.
Okay. I'm kind of right there with you, Sean, in terms of how I feel about this thing. And my 5-word review is learning curve, but still fun. I struggled to come up with one this week, mainly because I am a true child of the 80s and early 90s, and I grew up on the cartoon like anybody else. I played the video game that no one could pass level 2. I was a turtle head back then, if you might want to put it that way. And so all of my experience was those turtles, and even in the live action movies, not the Michael Bay, but the live action movies. Listening to you, are you using your mic? Yes, I'm using my mic.
Are you? You sound like you're in the bathroom.
Sorry, I don't understand. Really? Hold on, let me see.
Now Siri is yelling at you.
Yeah.
No. That's my mic right here. Is okay. That any different?
No, you. It just sounds like it's far away from you. Is all. That's why. I guess. Next time I'll make sure.
I'm massaging my lips against my mic. So
okay. Well, that's
is that better?
It's objectively worse, but I appreciate you getting it closer. And sorry for any listener for that.
Yeah. What was I talking about? You made me lose my train of thought.
Well, you're the one that stopped. You could have just, you know, read the message and just kept talking.
I as my students know, you derail my lecture and we are going into the woods. We are we're going in a ride together where no one knows where it will end.
Well, so, that's fine.
The Slubber Spat is brought to you by Ooze.
Yeah.
Get your vial today.
Ooze.
Okay. All right. So how do I feel about this movie? I grew up with turtles, and so I have an expectation of what a turtle movie should look like, right? And when I came into this, it's different. It's just totally different. The animation style, the age. I mean, now they're real teenagers, which I do appreciate. I do like the fact that they feel like real teenage kids in here. Do I like how they treated Splinter? I thought that was really weird. I didn't like it that he was the old guy and that he wasn't an old ninja master or something like that. It just didn't feel right. But I had fun with the movie. I thought it was a fun little ride. Once you get past the animation style, once you get past kind of how things look, there are a few shots in this movie that are gorgeous and that are neat to look at. I appreciate seeing something new. And I always say that in my reviews, that I'm always looking for something new in these movies. And this gave it to me in terms of how it looked. It was silly and it was funny. And I do think Leonardo decapitated somebody in this movie, possibly. I think that, you know, one of the things with the turtles growing up, they never were really able to use their weapons, if you ever remember those.
Well, the Foot Clan were robots, which is how they get away with swords and scythes, is Leo's able to decapitate them because they're robots.
Yeah, but I mean, I distinctly remember Raphael in this movie throwing his scythe and imprinting it in somebody's forehead.
Yeah.
And he's falling back.
And so. Splinter stabs one of those guards with those shock wand in the mask. I mean, he's dead.
They didn't kill them. They just now speak with a lisp.
Yeah.
So I kind of like, honestly, I might be bad, but I do kind of like that aspect where it got real. The turtles weren't perfect ninjas, right? They got beat up. They got, you know, they got some hits on them, you know, when they went through the ringers. So I liked it. I thought it was funny. I love Leonardo's character in this. I love how he kind of grows into a leader with the guys, but he's still this teenage kid who is trying to learn life. I don't think they did enough with Michelangelo and Raphael with their personalities. Go ahead, Andrew.
As far as what we're used to with those
I expected a little more fun with Michelangelo than we got with him, but it, you know, is it something I'm going to see again? Probably not. Actually, I will, because my daughter started watching it with me and she had to go to bed and was mad that I was still watching the movie when she went to bed, so I'll probably have to watch the end of the movie again with her. But I thought it was serviceable. I thought it was fun.
All right, cool. Andrew.
Well, I have two. The first one is star-studded Spider-Verse-esque visual delight.
Yeah.
That's five words.
Yeah, well, if you count Spider-Verse-esque. Okay. And I guess if you hyphenate star-studded, it's actually four words.
Okay.
And then the other one was a brilliant reimagining of the Turtles.
Oh, wow.
I really enjoyed this. I think I have a slightly different perspective because all the words that they are saying, these teenagers are saying, I hear on a regular basis every day. You know, I have a 13-year-old in my house and I work at the middle school in the mornings and a high school in the afternoons. And I hear Riz and I hear all these things, skibbity toilet. I mean, I don't think that was in the movie, but I hear all these words that I have to learn what they mean. And, you know, I feel like an old person, but hearing it come from these teenage, you know, I got to thinking about, as I watched this, when we got the original live action Turtles movie back in, what was it, 92?
90.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somewhere in there. I felt like, even then, I felt like they were not teenagers.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like they were in their 20s or, you know, somewhere in there. This really did feel like these are kids that just went through puberty, like, or going through puberty.
Yeah, you know? Just now.
And I love the fact that they got real teenage actors to voice them. But the going back to the Spider-Verse-esque visual delight that I said, I've read reviews about how some people liked it, some people didn't like it, and you know, you said you could make an argument to whether it's a good movie or not a good movie, but I think that I enjoyed the visual aspect of the movie a lot because it's something that we haven't really seen. I mean, we sort of saw some of it in Spider-Verse in both of those movies. But this, I feel like, is even, I want to say, dirtier.
Yeah, very much so.
And I'm okay with it.
I liken it to, you know, us kind of going to one of the universes in Spider-Verse, but not staying there very long. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. I don't know if we needed a full movie of this style, but I don't know how they would do that without, you know, doing a multiverse type of thing. But I enjoyed, like you said, the aspect is the animation is at least interesting to look at.
Right. And it, you said, I think, Sam, that it takes a while to get used to it.
Yeah.
And it does, because at the beginning I was like, okay, I don't know if I can handle this. But by the end of the movie, I had really gotten used to it and really loved it.
Yeah.
And so... It, to me, it almost felt like oil painting and watercolor, sort of.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
And I really liked it. And it's all computer animated, but it feels like, in some cases, it feels like oil painting and Monet.
It also reminded me some of the some of the art decisions kind of reminded me of Mitchell's versus the Machines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Is that it?
All right. Yeah, that's all.
Okay. My 2 5-word reviews. My first one is love the art and style. Because we're still talking about that one. We're still there. I did enjoy the art style as long as there weren't people on the screen.
Okay.
So I liked the way the turtles looked. They looked weird and different than they're supposed to be because they're mutants. The reason why the costumed characters look so similar is because they're expensive to make, and so they probably can't make them too dissimilar. They probably have to make them pretty simple. Now, the second and third movie, that technology gets better, and they also have New Line Cinema funding them. Remember, the first movie was an independent film. But once New Line came in, they got some that New Line money. The characters could look a little bit different. Mikey is a little bit shorter. Donnie is, you know, his eyes are more expressive. Raph is still whatever. But, and there's been a couple of cartoons that have come out recently, animated versions of the Turtles. Nickelodeon produced a series that came out not that long ago that I watched with the family. That was pretty cool. And, that one's actually really funny, Sam. I like that one. But it was pretty interesting. It was pretty fun. And I think this movie kind of paid homage to that one, that show, because at the beginning of the movie, you know how like they look like they don't have eyeballs, right? They're like just their eyes are all white. Mm-hmm. And they did that in that animation style in that cartoon, that the Nickelodeon animated series. Whenever the turtles would go into fight mode, their eyeballs would disappear and it would just go white. And I don't know if that in of itself is an homage to the original hand drawn comic. I just don't know. I probably should learn it, but or if it's a like a Japanimation kind of art style. But they only did it once in this movie, and I think it was to kind of pay homage to the Nickelodeon show, because this is a Nickelodeon production.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, which because Paramount owned the Turtles. And then there was another show that was drawn, not animated, but drawn, where Raph is huge. Raph is the leader in that version.
Huh, really?
Raph is, he's still kind of got the bad attitude, but he is the decided leader of that team. So, and Donnie's staff is like legit tech staff. I mean, it is very techy tech, as opposed to, you know, this movie where it's just a stick and he kind of makes fun of it for just being a stick. My second 5-word review, which is actually not even 5 words. I guess if you TMNT, I did. So it's one. It's just, not my TMNT.
Okay. Interesting.
So I say
not
that
my cup of TMNT.
Not my cup of TMNT. That's a better. That's better. good job, Andrew, for making it better. The parts that I didn't like. Right. The art style I'm great with. The animation I'm good with. The action scenes I enjoyed. The montages. There were several montages in this movie. I'm okay with all that stuff. I was super annoyed at Splinter for many reasons. One, they got Jackie Chan to be Splinter. So why? I love Jackie Chan. I think he's fantastic. But why get Jackie Chan? If you're going to change the origin story from a rat that watched his Japanese master, and that's how he learned ninjutsu, to I'm just a rat from New York, then he should have a New York accent.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but that's what you're saying. He wouldn't
sound like Jackie Chan. Now, maybe someone is arguing with me through their phone, but he watched Jackie Chan kick flicks to learn Kung Fu, and therefore, that's why he sounds like Jackie Chan, because he watched all these old Bruce Lee movies and Jackie Chan movies, and he learned to talk like them. To which then the argument would be, then why don't the turtles sound like that? Because the only
exactly
they're only you talk
although,
like
I mean you're coming up with logic.
I know with, in a cartoon I know
of Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I know again I get it. You're not wrong. The other parts that I don't know. There's just something about, oh, I taught them kung fu from watching movies, and they're really good. I mean, they're, you know, like you said, Sam, they're not perfect. But I think all hero movies have to have the hero. The hero can't be OP at the beginning, right? They have to, you know, to kind of be good and then stumble and then overcome. That's what makes a hero movie. In the original movie, same thing. They kick butt at the beginning. They get their butts kicked by the foot. They go to the farm in North Carolina. They retrain, and then they then they go back and they're doing their thing. So that's, you know, this movie has that. This movie has a Popeye moment and things like that, which is all good tropes. But I don't know. Just the Splinter thing really bothered me. He was just like this weird 80s dad.
But he wasn't even that. Okay, it's going to sound stereotypical. It felt like the old Jewish dad trope.
Okay.
With this guy.
Like the dad from American Pie or something?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and if that voice would have been on him, it would have been exactly what I would expect this character doing. I don't like the antlers on his head, by
it's
the way.
Hair?
The hair over the eyes was the dumbest.
I think
ever.
They were trying to make it look like the horseshoe, like he's going bald in the middle, but that kind of bothered me too, just the way it was designed.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so hot take here.
Okay.
I actually liked it.
You liked Splinter?
I liked Splinter.
This character?
No.
Really? Okay.
You know, I said in my 5-word review, it's a reimagining, in my opinion, mm-hmm. because we don't have the same origin story that we had for Splinter in things that we've known before. And I'm okay with it. The fact that he has an Asian accent didn't bother me because I didn't really think about it. Like I didn't faze me. It just happened to have an Asian accent. And I was like, okay, it's cool. But he still learns Kung Fu not the way that he did in the previous way we know, but he learns it in a different way. And
but
still,
what's the name of the movie, Andrew? What's the name of the movie?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, you didn't say the Teenage Mutant Kung Fu Turtles.
So, yeah.
But they're watching Kung Fu movies.
Yeah, but
they're using
it. I won't dive on that one. But
semantics. It's, you know, it's just cultural differences by a lot. But
okay, true. But they don't call them the Teenage Samurai Turtles.
No,
it's just
It's
also the same argument people have had is in the new Karate Kid movie with Willow Smith. Like, he's not being taught karate; he's being taught kung fu. And the only reason why they use the Karate Kid in the name is because they're playing off of the 80s movie so that Americans would go watch the movie. But the rest of the world, it's called the Kung Fu Kid because that's what he learns. So I don't know. I guess I know this is a weird nitpick. I know it is a weird nitpick. And I'm glad that you liked it. And frankly, Andrew, I'm okay with, maybe I'm not, I don't know. We've seen the origin story, right? We've seen it a few times. So do we need another movie where we see the same exact origin story? No, I guess we don't, but...
Let me go back to you just a minute, because I think this might be the reason I like this version of Splinter better. Because in the live action in 92, we see Splinter as a rat doing karate, whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
In his rat cage, right?
Yeah,
as a rat.
Yeah, as a mutant, regular non-mutant rat.
As a non-mutant rat, and he's doing karate. And even then, in 92, when I was in third grade, I remember thinking, "This is not okay. Like, a rat would not do karate."
Yeah,
unless he had some sort of mutant properties.
Yeah, the owner of that rat should have been really freaked out.
Right. So, yeah, maybe that's why I'm okay with this one. I don't know.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't know. It's a weird thing that it's bothered me, but it's... I'll get over it. You know, it's fine. It's like... The one thing that I really liked about Spider-Man Homecoming is we didn't need to see Spider-Man get bit by the spider. We didn't need to have Uncle Ben die. We didn't see any of that stuff. It was fine. Mm-hmm. We didn't need the origin story. We had already gotten it to two other versions. Just like with the Batman, we didn't need to have another scene of the Ma and Pa Kent, Wayne, getting gunned down in the behind the theater, because we've already seen it a bunch of times. So the fact that they completely changed their origin, I guess I'm okay with it. But
you know why I was okay with it? Because it was funny.
It was funny.
Yeah.
Because the way the rats, it was funny. I laughed out loud when the cockroach got stepped on. You know, it was.
It's his best friend Kevin. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not wrong. It was funny. This is a funny movie.
It is.
It is a funny
movie. Well, I mean, it's a Seth Rogen thing, so of course.
There was so Andrew or Sam, one of you mentioned that you liked the fact that the turtles are voiced by kids. The voice of Donatello, my kids, I could not convince them that that wasn't a girl.
Really?
I showed them a picture of the kid, and they're like, "Yep, yeah, it's a girl. It sounds like a girl." Like, they're like,
that's kids that age.
Like, when did Donatello become a girl? Like, that's all, like, that. My son was fixated on that. When did
you know what I was fixated on in this movie?
What's that?
How did Michelangelo get braces?
Yes.
I thought that too.
Yeah. Did he go to an orthodontist?
Right. Or, what orthodontist puts braces on a mutant turtle,
or,
you know, without freaking out? That's what kind of bothered me for a while.
Or did Splinter do it? Did the braces get flushed down the toilet and he put them on him? Like,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah.
Yeah.
I also, I think, Sam, you mentioned that there wasn't enough time with Donnie or Mikey, right?
Yeah.
So Mikey doesn't really, he's not really kind of the goofy, whatever.
The humor, right?
Not really. He's not really all that different than his brothers. Not really. And Donnie, who's supposed to be the super nerd, I mean, even at 15 or 16, in every other version of this, he crime fights with a Walkman in headphones on his neck the whole time. But
tech savvy in this one.
Yeah, they just made him a little bit tech savvy, and he's a comic book character, a comic book fan. And I thought, okay, well, we're like, Leo is still the leader, and he's still kind of the stick up the butt leader kind of thing. And Raph is still kind of I want to fight everyone, and I have these anger issues and things like that. So like, they kept those archetypes the same, but they decided that Donnie and Mikey should be toned down, I guess. Maybe they get more screen time or more story arc in the second movie that will eventually be made, I'm sure. So, I don't know. I really want to love this movie, like Into the Spider-Verse, like Mitchell versus Machine.
Do you think your expectations were too high going into it?
No, I don't think so. No? But I will say, and I think it's because I heard this and I didn't check on it, I thought this was a continuation of the Turtle story.
Mm.
I thought this was because... So you have the first three live-action films from the 90s. And then TMNT, which is an animated thing that came out in the mid-2000s that has lots of different voice actors, which I think, didn't we cover on this movie? I can't remember.
I'm not sure.
All the voice actors? Yeah, I said star-studded. I don't think we talked about. Because the four turtles...
We didn't do that.
You think when I say star-studded, it would be the turtles, but it's not. It's really everybody else in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's around these kids.
Yeah. I was trying to see if we had done the other TMNT movie I was thinking of, which we have not. But that movie is a continuation of the three live action movies. So I thought this was that. This was just the next one in the series. I didn't realize that this is a new origin story, new everything. It's its own universe. So in my head canon, those four movies are one Turtleverse, and this is just a different Turtleverse, which is why they look different. So I'm going with you.
Maybe that's where they're going.
Maybe that's the
idea behind it.
Probably not. I don't think everything has to have multiverse. Not everything needs to have multiverses or whatever, but who knows? Maybe it will. I didn't take many notes on this. Now, I will say this, and Sam, you watched this with your girls, at least most of it. I watched this with my kids. And Andrew, did you watch this? Again, you probably didn't watch this with the boys because...
Well, parts of it, yes, I did.
Yeah.
Not the whole thing, though.
They
sat for a few minutes until...
I think I know where you're going, but I was disappointed in the language.
There was a lot of swearing. In fact, my daughter...
Especially by Superfly.
My daughter counted.
Really surprised.
Yeah.
Surprised me.
She counted the dams and hells. There were 10
Did
swear
really?
Words. Oh, yeah. My kids are very aware of that. Every time it happened, they were like... After about the sixth damn or hell, my son goes, "What kind of family movie did you pick for us, Dad?"
Right. Yeah.
I mean, Sarah asked me, "Is this PG-13?" I said, "No, it's PG." Yeah. That's not where I was going.
PG.
I sound a little bit like a curmudgeon, but it was pretty bad.
I mean, in the original Turtles, when Raphael screams "Damn!" when he loses his sigh, like, I thought, "Oh my gosh, this movie is so edgy," you know,
yeah.
that this PG movie had "damn" in it. Right? It was a big damn deal. But you know, watch it with my kids. But now, in fairness, you know, there are PG movies like there's those old PG Star Trek films, especially Star Trek 4. There's a lot of ass and damn and hell in those movies, but they're doing it for comedic relief because in that series, Spock is trying to remaster the English language and doesn't understand what Kirk refers to as colorful metaphors. So he curses in the movie, but badly, as a joke. But my son, he's like, "I don't remember Star Trek cursing so much." And I said, "Yeah, I didn't remember that it was going to do that either." But go ahead.
Sorry, this is not about the cursing. I also enjoyed some of the, because there was a few times where they played like a clip from a real TV show. Or a real,
movie. Or had the cardboard cutouts of all the,
or
Chris's.
Had the cardboard cut, yeah,
yeah, with Chris Chris's. Pine, yeah.
I thought that was really cool how they did that. I liked that they strayed away from the animation style for just a moment, to throw us those bones there.
Yeah, I meant to say this way earlier in the show when we were talking about the art style, and maybe we said this, and my brain has just done of whatever, but. The art style is supposed to be as if the Turtles are telling the story. 15-year-old kids teenager. That are not good at art because they didn't
that makes
go
more
to
sense actually.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's kind of why the art style is so weird and janky, is because it's being told by them, by their story. Mm. So that's why it's a little janky.
Yeah.
But anyway. I loved the girl that played
April.
I thought she was great. I love the idea that she gets nervous on camera and barfs everywhere. That cracks me up. That barfing scene really made my wife uncomfortable. She had to turn her head, which was really funny. But I liked April. I thought she was funny and cool. And again, she fits the thing, because you're not wrong with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. In the first movie, she's like in her 30s.
Yeah.
Like, why would you know, teenagers hang out with her? So it does make sense that they did that. And then the cartoon, the Nickelodeon cartoon, I say cartoon, it's computer animated. They made her a high schooler. You know, that April O'Neil is a high schooler. But in that version, Donnie has a crush on her, not Leo.
Yeah.
So there's that. But you're not wrong about the cast. I mean, so Seth Rogen is Bebop, which I was surprised there wasn't more of him talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doing his laugh and whatever.
Well, talk about surprises. I got to jump in real quick. The storyline of the other mutants and Superfly, I didn't expect it to go the way it went, where Bebop and
Rocksteady.
Oh God, Rocksteady ended up being on the side of the turtles.
Yeah.
At the end, mm-hmm. and the rest of them were too. And I really liked that. I was like, wait a second. Yeah, they're all buddies now. This is kind of cool. It makes more sense for them to get together than it would be to fight anyway. So yeah. I did enjoy that little twist.
Yeah, I like the fact that, because again, I think about the story itself, the storyline makes a little more sense this way, introducing all these mutants first,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, spoiler, Shredder coming in later.
Yep.
And the Foot Clan and all that stuff coming in later. And maybe they end up recruiting Rocksteady and Bebop and some of these other ones back to the Shredder side later on.
It's the dark side.
Yeah. But I thought that was really neat. And honestly, after I thought about it, I was like, that kind of makes more sense than introducing Shredder and the Foot Clan first and then developing more mutants later on.
Well, I like that choice too. And I like it for just the simple fact that we have had we've had many movies already with the Shredder. So, yeah. And he is the big bad, along with Krang. So let's let him, you know, be the surprise at the end. I'm with you. And you're right. Yeah. I did not expect the flip where the mutants would turn on Superfly and join the Turtles, because yeah. Bebop and Rocksteady are all you have to say is Bebop and Rocksteady. Oh, they're the bad guys to the Turtles.
They're the bad guys. Yeah.
It is weird. I mean, could you imagine Spider-Man showing up to fight the Sinister Six and the Rhino and Scorpion decide to join Spider-Man to fight Doc
that's,
Ock?
That's it. Yeah.
You know, it's very strange. You know, but that's what they did, because they decided to lean into, we're kind of cousins, we're family, and we're going to, you know, lean into that. So, and yeah, to be back to your point also, this is a pretty good cast. John Cena, Seth Rogen, Jackie Chan, Paul Rudd. And
the wild thing is I didn't realize they were them until I was waiting for the mid-credit scene.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was seeing all the names then. I'm like, holy crap, that was that. Oh, that was that person.
Yeah,
that's uh-huh. who that was. It was, I think they disappeared into their characters pretty well.
Okay, that's cool. I like that. I like that, whatever you just said. All right, cool. Anything else before I play some clips?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. There's so much trivia about this film, which is also fun. Like Superfly was originally going to be mutated version of Baxter Stockman, who gets turned into a mutant fly as in their traditional TMNT lore, but the two ultimately became separate characters. That's what I thought was going to happen. When I saw Baxter Stockman and the fly, I assumed the ooze would get on the two of them and he would turn into, cause that's the way it is. And it's also strange to have, Giancarlo Esposito come in for four lines, but because he's not in the rest of the movie. And I thought, oh, maybe he's off fighting the Mandalorian still. So, also really fun. I have to tell this story. Okay. So I apologize. So I'm kind of briefly scrolling through the trivia here. I love the fact that we're in there fighting in the city and Mikey gets thrown into a cab and he hits the radio and the Go Ninja Go song is playing, the Vanilla Ice song is playing. So I'm at work, and I might have told this story on the podcast before, and if I have, I apologize. But I'm at work, and I work with a bunch of young dudes. These are all IT guys, real smart, but young guys. And so I'm talking to one of my coworkers, and he's telling this story about how he went to a convention a few years ago. And he turns down the corner, and there's like, you know, a big hallway, and there's a stage there, and there's music playing. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, and there's this guy up there, and he's like a rapper, and everyone knows who he is, and everyone's cheering. And he pulls his phone out. He's like, I recorded some of it. I didn't know who this was. And he hits play, and it's freaking Vanilla Ice singing Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go, right? He's performing the song. And Jackson has no idea what this means. I'm like, you don't know what that reference is? And he says, no. Why is that guy singing about ninjas? I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, you're a nerd. I figured you would know, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And he's like, no. I said, oh my gosh. So that was funny. But all right. Time for some clips. You ready for some clips? Okay, good.
Let's do it.
Here we go.
I have one friend. He was a cockroach. We got along very well. His name was Kevin. And then I ate him.
And then I ate him.
And then I ate him.
Yeah, I like that. That got me for sure.
That was pretty funny. Okay.
Because I was older, I became older red. You guys were babies, so you stay baby turtle creatures. If you think about that, it couldn't make more sense.
It's basically the director is just looking at the camera saying, don't think about it too much.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Here's a fun piece of trivia, by the way. Despite his 30-plus year career and over 130 acting credits to his name, Paul Rudd is given an introducing credit, presumably as a joke. Why? With longtime collaborator Seth Rogen.
Okay. All right. I was wondering about that.
Yeah, introducing Paul Rudd. That's hysterical.
I completely missed that.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I was like, wait, what?
All right.
Formation, go!
Whoa! I think all of his hormones just kicked in at once.
Follow him!
Not that. All his hormones just kicked in at once. Okay, let's see. Oh yeah. By the way, if you have a hard time in movies where the actors, lots of the characters are talking over each other, you will have a hard time with this movie because this, what I'm about to play, happens probably 12 times in the movie.
Long ago,
talking
over each other.
That happens multiple times in the movie.
That's what happened.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what it sounds like in the hallways.
Yeah,
they try to talk over each other. Yeah, that. Yeah.
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 What are you eating? Is that an icy pop?
Like a fudge sickle?
Okay. Because your camera cuts it in and out every now and then, at first I'm like, is he eating chicken wings? That's what I thought at first. I thought, okay, eat chicken wings on the podcast. That's a bold choice, Andrew. All right.
Wait, what's our last name?
I've never thought about that, actually. I don't know.
Do we not have last names?
Oh, who are we?
It's okay. I'll just break it up. Michael Angelo. Hey, I'm Michelangelo. Perfecto.
That makes you Leonardo.
Nardo!
Nardo.
It could be Leonardo. That's a cool name, Leon.
Leonardo. He's sensitive.
Leonardo. Seth Rogen compared the film soundtrack to that of the video game Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, 1999. There wasn't enough ska in this for it to be compared to that.
That's true.
Just saying. Needed to have the first TMNT movie to have a fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Hold the phone. If the first the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie doesn't have a fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, how is that? How is that possible?
A lot of people didn't like the first one,
but
it was too dark and edgy, and it wasn't cartoony.
Yeah, it's got a 6.8 on IMDb.
Yep.
I wonder if I can. I guess they probably don't put the. Wait, what? Sorry. Anyway, time for this one. We mentioned ooze earlier.
This is wow. I mean, this is crazy. Like, let me guess. 15 years ago, right? Some sludge was dumped in the sewer, and y'all came from that.
Well, we prefer the term ooze, but yeah.
It's like more like, it's just nicer.
It rolls off the tongue better, yeah.
Ooze. It's nice, right? It's ooze.
Damn. Ooze. I like that. I like ooze.
Did you guys hear, by the way? I saw this on Screen Rant. They're making an R-rated version of a Turtles movie.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I saw that today, too.
Yeah.
Oh, the, what is it?
The Last Ronin or something?
Last Ronin?
Yeah, Last Ronin, something like that. Yeah, it's been greenlit. They're going to do an R-rated one.
Yeah.
Finally, Leo's going to get to use his swords.
Animated or
I would assume
live action?
Probably
I think
animated.
It's live action, actually.
Oh, really?
I think that's what I heard.
Okay.
But, you know, I did hear it on TikTok, so who knows if that's right or not.
Well, I mean, if it's on TikTok, it's got to be real.
Got to be true.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, I'm sure it's a thing. I got the article right here. Give me a second. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles gets R-rated live-action adaptation of The Last Ronin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Well, there you go. I'm looking forward to that.
I'm on board.
Yeah, I am too. Honestly, I am too.
Stay back, everyone. Stay back. I just hear from my boys who lied to me. They're in so much trouble right now.
Oh, is that so, Ratatouille? Grab another machine and hook them up like the others.
Don't call me a Ratatouille.
I love. Love that they made when he was doing his fighting, it would be as if Jackie Chan were fighting.
Yes.
He beat these guys up with a chair. He was using props. It was perfect. That honestly, him fighting was my favorite action scene in the movie. Honestly. I loved it. I really did.
Using all the weapons.
Yeah.
It was it was awesome.
Like, it's hard to describe for a podcast without because you need to watch it. But, like, when he sits in the chair, right? It's just an office chair with no arms. And there's a guy on the ground, so he hits the button to squat down to hit the guy in the head. And then he stands up and then hits the button to retract it out and hits another guy with the wheels of the chair. As a weapon. It was brilliant. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. They had to have gone to Jackie Chan and said, how would you choreograph this fight scene? And he says, where are we? I said, we're in an office there that the turtles are getting milked. And, you know, there's going to be some office furniture. He goes, oh, let me use a chair. I haven't used a chair in a movie before. Why not? So, still probably one of my favorite props he's ever used was an A-frame ladder. That's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
One of the only character, you were talking about the art of the people. The one that bothered me the most was Maya Rudolph's character.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Her glasses being crooked.
It looked like her whole head was like Picasso style.
Yeah.
Like it was... One side of her face was bigger than the other or something.
Yeah.
Like she had a goiter.
Like her nose on the right side was nicely drawn, and then they got tired and drew the left. Like her nose, it was, you're not wrong. When they had close-ups of her, it really bothered me. That's why I said I love the art style as long as there aren't people on the screen.
Mm-hmm. She was really the only person I didn't like the rendering of.
Ariel was fine, but I think that's because the boys like Ariel. But I mean, like all of the like the foot soldier men, the hut 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 hut, hut which cracked me up that they did that. Like the main dude, he looked all gnarly and weird. Mm-hmm. So even Baxter Stockman looked weird, like a little troll man. So
yeah,
basically Ariel's the only like, because even when Ariel busts in to take over the reporting from Reporter Lady looked janky as hell too. Her face looked like April. A mushroom. Yeah, when April bursts in, she breaks into the breaking news and pushes the lady out of the way. That's because she's like, turtles are bad, and Ariel goes, no, they're good, and she pushes her out of the way. Her face looked like a mushroom. It was all weird. So, man, basically, again, humans are bad except for April. But again, I contend the idea that the turtles drew the movie, so that's why she looks nice. I got just a couple more. This cracked me up. Yeah, I got a lot. Well, this movie's full of little fun moments like this.
We're good, right?
That's it? One little horse. I don't need that horse.
I don't know why that cracked me up, but it did.
Yeah, I did. Me too. Yeah, I got
I don't need that horse. And it was like, find the most generic horse sound you can find. And then here's the tease at the end.
There is one option.
Yes. Bring me the shredder.
So it'll
I'm in.
Yeah, I am too. But it's going to be interesting to see how they play him. You know, is he a former, you know, samurai Ronin that's been cast aside?
Something or tells me they're going to do something different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? It'll be something different about him personality-wise that it won't be the usual thing we've seen before.
Well, the fact that he works for her, I guess, is already a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not out to run the streets with the foot. He's not out to kill the turtles because he just hates turtles.
Yeah.
But his suit looked gnarly that we get there. I mean, he kind of looked like what the Super Shredder looked like at the end of the second one.
Yeah.
Where he's all beefy and gnarly. Mm-hmm. All right, time for this.
And now for some more bad news. Ready?
During the course of this episode, Andrew has found the ability to... found the ability. He's always had the ability, but he found the way to make a game for us. So we are here now to play the game of, hey, did you notice? And I bet you he probably pulled most of this stuff from the pictures that he finds on IMDb. So,
or while I was watching it silently while you were...
Which you do, as we... Yeah. That's we are well established that's what you do.
Yeah. All right, so we're ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Who's going first?
Sam.
Sure.
All right, Sam. Donnie has a fanny pack that he wears around.
Yep.
There is one letter and a number on that fanny pack.
Is it D14?
It is not D14.
Okay.
Sean.
He has a letter and a number on the fanny pack. I'm looking at your screen right now to see if I can see the fanny pack behind your head.
It's here, but you can't see the number on it.
Yeah.
Well, the D is on his belt, so I assume that's not the letter.
Oh, that's why I thought D. Okay.
Yeah.
I got it.
The D is on the belt, which, by the way, this is the first realization of the turtles where they have their letters on their belts.
Yeah.
As they were in the original cartoon comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. A letter and a number. I don't know. T5.
So Sam was really, really close.
Oh.
It was C13.
Oh,
so one off in both three.
Wow.
Dang.
Yep.
I wonder what the significance of that is.
That's crazy.
I didn't look it up.
Well,
but yeah.
Just yeah. Wow. That's one of those where it's in my head, but it's not, you know.
Right.
All right.
All right, Sean.
Yeah.
What is the name of the milking machine?
It has a name?
Yes, I remember seeing it. Crap.
The name of the turtle milking machine.
I have no idea. The Milker 2000.
Yes. It's the Mega Milker 2000.
Really? Are you serious?
That's pretty impressive, man.
I just figured it had to be something stupid and generic. That's hysterical.
That's really what it was.
Oh my god!
I just found it online. Yeah, it is the Mega Milker 2000.
I just assumed it was something stupid. That's hysterical. Oh wow! But I don't get the guesses very often.
That's just nice.
All right, Sam. When Superfly gets out of the water after he's been submerged with the ooze, he falls into a zoo. What is the name of the zoo?
Oh, it's not the Bronx Zoo, is it?
It's not the Bronx Zoo. John,
I don't remember either. It was the I don't know. The Queens Zoo.
The Rosebank.
Rosebank.
Rosebank Zoo.
Okay.
Rosebank.
Weird. Yeah.
All right, Sean. So April writes down interview questions in her notebook to ask the turtles. One question asks them where their weapons come from, and she writes down suggestions where they might come from. Can you name one of the three places where she suggests that those weapons come from?
Oh, I no idea. One of the three places she suggests that the turtle weapons came from. What would be equally ridiculous? No idea. From the toy store.
Sam?
Let's just ask if they are self-made, if I remember right.
That is one of the options.
Yes! Oh, nice.
How many?
The other options were Hot Topic and a pawn shop.
Nice. That's funny.
Yeah.
All right.
I do remember, I wrote down how many people has the red bandana turtle stabbed.
Yeah. Yeah, if you pause it and read all those questions, it's really funny.
Nice.
All right, so the last question is tied up. The last question is Sam's question, right? Yeah. A logo for what was once a popular 90s restaurant chain is shown in this movie. What is the restaurant?
Oh my gosh. It wasn't Pizza Hut, was it?
Not Pizza Hut. I consider Pizza Hut still popular today.
Still popular, okay.
Yeah, because that's the pizza that they were eating was Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember. No, I don't know. Well, I mean, obviously, Sean, I ruined my guess.
I don't... popular 90s food place logo. That's weird. I don't know. I because you said, because I remember seeing the pizza. I remember I was trying to keep track of all the other name brand, Doritos and things like that. I don't know. I'm trying to think of things from the popular things from the 90s. Fuddruckers. I don't know.
That's a really good guess, but that's not right. So we're going to end in a tie tonight.
That's okay.
Oh, wow.
Neither of you got it. But it was Planet Hollywood was on the coffee mug that they were all sitting in their lair around a table with, and they each had a coffee mug. And I think, I don't remember which one it was. I think one of the turtles had a Planet Hollywood coffee mug.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Cool. Time for this.
All right.
Everyone!
That's right. sorry. That line.
So aggressive.
It is, but it's funny. This is where we're going to give the movie a score from 0 to 10. to discuss, to put to numbers how much we liked or didn't like this movie. And I'm looking back here, Andrew, for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, for 7 movies in a row.
I was in the sixes.
Going back to the Hitman's Bodyguard, it was 6.5, 6.3, then 3, 2, 5, 5, then 6, 3, 6, 1, 6, 5. So, so 3 in a row of sixes. Let's see if we stay the same. So what do you got, Andrew, for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem?
IMDb has it at a 7.2 out of 10. I am going to go 8.1.
Wow, yeah. Wow. You like this a lot. Yeah. That's cool.
I really did like this. It was a lot of fun.
Good. I'm glad you did.
Might watch it again.
All right.
I hold it right up there with Spider-Verse and all those things. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I can't stand with you on that at all. Spider-Verse is just a whole different place for me. But
storytelling wise, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, it is better, but this I think this is up there with them.
Okay.
Maybe hanging below them, but it's up there.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sam.
I enjoyed it. I guess not as much as Andrew, but I'd still give it a solid 7.12 out of 10.
Okay. Do I even have to mention that our Star Trek connection in the movie is literally Chris Pine as Captain Kirk? that was pretty funny. It blew my son away because when that part came up, my son asked, he's like, how can they do that? And I said, well, Nickelodeon is owned by Paramount, and Paramount owns the rights, the film rights to the movies. Paramount owns Nickelodeon? Oh, yeah. They own a lot of stuff. Uh-huh. Like he was blown away by that. So then you can, like, I didn't with him, but then you can get, like, into the weeds where then you say, yeah, but the weird thing is that Paramount owns the rights to the films, but CBS Studios owns the rights to the TV shows. And so it gets a little weird there. I did like this movie. I think you guys kind of helped me a little bit, but
enjoy a little bit more of it.
I did enjoy it. I didn't hate the movie at all. I enjoyed my time. What I was starting to say earlier, and then we got into the swearing conversation, through no fault of my children, this was probably the worst viewing experience I've had in a long time.
Oh, no.
It was just one of those things where we, in order for them to watch it with me, we have to start the movie while we're eating dinner. Otherwise, we don't have enough time for them to, because they have to go to bed at, you know, around 8:30 or so. So we're eating and watching the movie. And we're not, so I'm not watching the movie on the big screen TV or the good sound system. I'm watching it on the smaller TV downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, hey, can you pause it? I need to go wash my hands. Hey, can you pause it so I can go to the bathroom? Hey, can you pause it? We got to feed the dog. We probably stopped the movie 20 times. It's an hour and 42 minutes or something like that. It took us 2 hours and 15 minutes to watch this thing because there was so much stoppage of the movie. So it's hard to get into the movie when you're stopping it every 10 to 15 minutes because of reasons. Yeah. And I do think my daughter was pretty bored with the movie, who's 7, because she starts humming and, you know, kind of playing, and then she's kicking her feet and she's fidgeting and daddy, can I ask you a question? And, like she was kind of bored with it. So
milking a turtle wasn't her thing.
They did like that. They did like the joke about milking the turtle. After they said milking a turtle, probably about the 5th time they said it, and the joke had kind of worn off. But, and again, they were very cognizant of all the dams and hells and stuff. You know, again, my daughter literally counted. So, anyway, all that to say is I'm going to give this movie, I'm going to give it a 6.5. Again, I like it. I don't love it. It's good. I mean, I have it ranked up there with Black Adam, which I think is fine. It's fine. But we did have some people in our Discord channel. We have a Discord channel. We had a couple people chime in on Discord is just to because they love turtles. The Audie Norman, who we've had on our podcast, he's a big fan and he loved the movie. So I said I hope you guys listen to the episode because you may or may not like what I have to say. But I am glad we watched it. Seriously, I'm glad we watched it.
Oh, so, yeah, it was good. It wasn't a waste of time.
No, and this is an easy enough movie where if it is rainy Saturday and one of the kids says, can we try the turtle movie again? I'm down for it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm totally down for it. So, yeah. All right, that's it. Next week, we are doing something that I've never heard of, but this was Sam's choice. So if we hate it, it's his fault. And we are doing a movie called Slumberland, which stars Jason Momoa.
Yep.
And I know nothing about it other than the fact that he has horns. And that's all I know. I know nothing about this movie at all. So next week, we're doing Slumberland as we continue our movie, our month of
family movies.
Family movies. And I'm interested I'm not here now to determine what we're going to do for May, but
it's going to be May.
You know, in the,
we
you know,
should do Justin Timberlake movies.
I'm not down for that.
We've already done one of his. I don't really know very many other ones he's done, but I like where your head's at. We do have a few movies on our list already to do. One of them is Red. We've been requested to do Red. And also at some point we need to do The Hitman's Bodyguard's Wife. I don't know. Maybe we'll do Red 2 instead of Red 1, and then we can do Hitman. We'll just do sequels. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But at some point I will subject you guys to the last four Star Trek films. That is going to happen at some point.
Need to make sure I'm not there that month.
No, you will definitely be there that month. I won't do those during June or July. Anyway, that's it. So next week, Slumberland, please stay tuned for that. In the meantime, go to our website, cheapseatreviews.libsyn.com. There you'll find our links to social media and things like that. Like our Discord. Go to our Discord. Join us on Discord. We are there. I am there. And join in the conversation where it's, there's not a lot going on, but we can get the community back up. You know, let's get some stuff going back in there. Facebook, of course, and Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. And leave us a review. iTunes, Google Play. Is Google Play still a thing? I have no idea. Spotify. Definitely Spotify. Leave us a review on Spotify or any of those other places where you listen to our show. And of course, YouTube. YouTube.com/cheapseatreviews there. Be like Colleen and leave comments directly there. Because she was the one that suggested Mulan, and we did it. So all you got to do is suggest something, and we'll do it. And Rosie, I know that you've suggested, you want us to do a couple, there's a rom-com you want us to do. It's just not streaming. But we'll do it. It's just,
we're cheap.
It's just not streaming. Man, these streaming services are expensive. I think we need to change our name. Because in order to have Netflix and HBO and Prime and Disney.
Disney.
We're getting to kind of expensive seat reviews. So anyway, that's it, guys. Thank you all so much for listening. So on behalf of Andrew, Turtle Milk, and Sam, this is Sean saying thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next week for Slumberland.
And just so you know, my last name is not Turtle Milk.
We don't. I mean, it could be. I don't know. Turtle Milk Jimison?
No, you said on behalf of Andrew, Turtle Milk, and
Turtle Milk and Sam.
Well, Sam's got his Turtle Milk thing there. I caught my eye. I thought it was funny. Like,
it is funny.
Yeah.
This is Cheap Seat Reviews.